Funister.
Chag Sameach, happy Mother's Day.
Chag Sameach.
Randala.
Chag Sameach, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Chag Sameach.
We'll wait another half a minute or so.
Okay.
Everybody get a good night's sleep?
Pretty good.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoach. Anabakoach, Gedula Chimincha, Tatir, Tzera, Alfat Kimmel Yit, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagbenu, Taharein, Ora, Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudha, Kivavat, Shamrein, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin, Barchem Taharein, Rachame Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlen Betet Resh Tzaditach Gimel Chasim Kadosh Birov Tuvcha Nael Adata Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. The letters of the month of Iyar, the Pe, that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Vav, that created the constellation Shor, the bull, the astrological sign of Taurus. Together, the Pe and the Vav spell the Hebrew word Po, which translates as here. The question we need to ask is, the concept of here, is that a physical concept, a spiritual concept, or both? Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimalamed Pei Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatia Katenu Yodea Kalumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyutav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now utilize the 13 attributes of mercy in order to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy within that creation. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apaim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notzer chesed la'alafim, noseawon wafesha, v'chata'av v'nakei. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year of the goat, this year 5777, this current year. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we will study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor oyavai hinam. When we take the first letters of these five words, they can be permutated into tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, the two Hebrew words are dir yam, which translates as a sea of penance. We have a verse, the second verse that connects to the energy of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed within this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. And the letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim Badonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadibaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, the year of the pause, is the next energy we will connect to. And this is done also with two verses. The first verse that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot. Vayechaskum achechem alevim ad kilot hamlacha v'ad yitkachu hakohanim ki halevim yishrei levav leitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka A Reka Ha. The second verse that connects to this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade ad ki biya Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur olamim. The year 5775 is the year that swallows death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second that we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachado yiyam asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachon v'chalachti yitchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third is Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru hayom. The verse, or the year 5774, the energy is the peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy, and it's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan tachtav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu b'nei avla la'anoto ta'asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. It comes from Parasha Yitro, it's Pasuk 29, and we will start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bithilu urchimu urchimu dhilu le'achta l'shem yudhe bevavhe Yehuda shelim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah vayihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konenei aleinu maasei yadeinu konenehu. Rabbi Abba amar bekama atar taneinam b'kudsha Barichu kama di aved leila witata kola ihu kishot viovada dikshot veleilach mila bialma ivaye barnash vedach yaleya mineya ulan haga beya kalana Dehakulhu ovada dikt shot inun wekola itzteris be alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 18th day of Iyar, the 33rd day of the Omer, the Hod Shebahod energy of the Omer. The Tzaddikim who chose to leave, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Moshe Isserwitz, known as the Rima. Rabbi Moshe Cohen Narol. Rabbi Moshe Eisenman, Rabbi David Heckscher, Rabbi Alter Eliyahu Rubinstein. And those who choose to leave tonight and tomorrow, which we mention every Sunday because we normally do not have a class in the evening on Sunday where we can mention this. Rabbi Meir Ben Baruch, the Maharam Mirotenberg, Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Rimenov, Rabbi Pinchas Twersky of Pishemishel, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Mordechai Soloveitchik of Lucerne, Rabbi Ezra Atiyah of Syria, and Rabbi Moshe Kopshitz. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class can be found on the unique astrological times link. If that is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. When this link opens up, you scroll down almost to the end, just before the Rosh Chodesh Sivan statement. And the link you click on is the Rainbow Day and Yom Yerushalayim preparation. And I can guarantee almost nobody has heard of Rainbow Day. As we start reading, on the 27th day of the second month, Noah, second month is Cheshvan, Noah, his family, and all the animals that were with them left the ark exactly one lunar year and 10 days before a complete solar year. The flood began on the 17th of the second month, the day before Lag BaOmer. When Noah, the animals, and his family went out from the ark, God made a covenant with all the animals and the people that there would never be again be a flood of water to destroy the life on earth. And Rainbow Day is always the 42nd day of the Omer, the day after Yom Yerushalayim. Other days connected the Rainbow Covenant include Shabbat Noach and Shabbat Bechar, which this is happening this week. So why is the Rainbow Covenant important? This method that I'm reading now comes from a website called Jewcology. It's a website devoted to ecology from a Jewish perspective. The website has its own agenda, which may not be valid in the Kabbalah. I'm going to let you decide. The Rainbow Covenant is a time to celebrate the diversity of life on earth and to remember our role in God's covenant with all creation. It is a time to remember that the first covenant was not with human beings, but with all living creatures. It is a chance to reflect on the deep spiritual and religious meaning of diversity, creation, and our role as part of creation and our partnership with Hashem. What is the message of the Rainbow Covenant? The Torah teaches that Hashem has promised never to flood the earth again. But that doesn't mean humanity can't flood the earth and harm life. We live in a time when many species have gone extinct or are threatened with extinction. Our civilization is using so much of the world's land and resources that we don't always leave room for the other creatures. And the climate is changing. As the African-American spiritual goes, God gave Noah the rainbow sign, no more water, the fire next time. And let us say, Chas v'shalom, God forbid. The story of Noah and the flood teaches us that we have a responsibility to care for all creation and all creatures, and that caring for all species is a mark of righteousness. The rainbow teaches about the unity of all life. This is an essay by Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, a tremendous sage from the 1700s. For is the rainbow anything else but the one pure, complete ray of light broken up into 7 degrees of 7 colors, from the red rays nearest to the light, to the violet, the dekelet, most distant from the light, losing itself into the darkness. And from the one to the other, are they not all rays of light? And combined all together, do they not form the one complete pure white ray? Could not this perhaps be meant to say, the whole manifold variety of all living creatures, from the most alive, Adam, the red one, man, nearest to the godly, down to the lowest, humblest form of life, in the humblest worm, every living soul that is in all flesh. God unites them all together in one common bond of peace, all fragments of one life, all refracted rays of the one spirit of Hashem, that even the lowest, darkest, most distant one is still a child of the light. Rabbi Hirsch's interpretation in his commentary on Parashat Noah is that the colors of the rainbow symbolizes the diversity of all living things on earth. His understanding of color may differ from ours, and we may have different ideas about the hierarchy of being. Ecologically speaking, the world needs fungus far more than human beings for life to continue. One very interesting quirk of his teaching. In Jewish lore, the color Tehelet is considered closest to God. As the Midrash says, Tehelet resembles the sea. The sea resembles the sky. And the sky resembles God's throne of glory. So if we go by this model and accept Rabbi Hirsch's identification of Tehelet with violet, the red one would be further from the light. One way of reconciling this derives from a teaching of Kabbalah. What is lower in this world descends from a higher place in the spiritual worlds. Here is another thought from Rabbi Hirsch about the rainbow. Its appearance is that of an arc joining the earth to heaven, accordingly a bond between heaven and earth. The phenomena itself is woven of light and water. In the midst of overcast, threatening clouds, it announces the presence of light and is accordingly a reminder that in the midst of God's threatened wrath, His preserving grace is still there. That's the end of our discussion about Rainbow Day. Does anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts to express about this concept of Rainbow Day? Jerusalem Day. This year, Jerusalem Day is on Tuesday night, June 24th, and Wednesday, June 25th. I think that's incorrect. I think it's May. But the 24th and 25th is correct. This is the 48th Jerusalem Day. Jerusalem Day is celebrated as a historical event. This is the day that Jerusalem was reunited during the Six-Day War of 1967. This day is the 28th day of Iyar in the Hebrew calendar and is also the 43rd day of the Omer. 43 is Mem Gimel, Mug, in Hebrew. Mog translates as to dissolve. That is what happened in 1967. The Klipa was dissolved, allowing for the reunification of the city of David. That is why the Kabbalists celebrate this day as an energy day that indicates the process of eliminating the Klipa, the negative shells that conceal the light from anyone else. Some historical background. After Israel declared its independence in 1948, it was attacked by the neighboring Arab countries, resulting in the Arab-Israeli War. At the end of this war, the city of Jerusalem was divided. Israeli forces controlled most of the city, and East Jerusalem, including the Old City, was controlled by Jordanian forces. The Old City was important for strategic and religious reasons, as many sites of religious importance are in this part of the city. These include the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque for Muslims, the Temple Mount and the Western Wall or the Kotel for the children of Israel, the Jews, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is a Christian connection. On June 7, 1967, one day into the Six-Day War, Israeli forces captured the Old City of Jerusalem. This resulted in the reunification of Jerusalem as part of Israel. According to the Hebrew calendar, it was the 28th day of the month of Iyar in the year 5727. And the anniversary of this date is known as Yom Yerushalayim, or Jerusalem Day. And I would also like to mention the war in 1967 was started, however it was started, because it doesn't really matter how a war starts. But the need to reunify Jerusalem was paramount. And yet, it would never have happened if Jordan had not chosen to fight along with the other Arab nations that were attacking Israel. Why did it happen on the day after the start of the war? Because until Jordan entered the war, there was no way politically in the Western world and in the modern world that the children of Israel, the modern state of Israel, could have attacked and annexed Old Jerusalem. The meaning of the name of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, is composed of two Hebrew words. One is Yeru, or Yirah, which means fear, and also means awe. The other is Shalem, which means complete, or peace, like Shalom. The meaning of this name is completion of awe, or complete awe. The Kabbalists teach that Jerusalem is the energy center of the world. They teach that all of the Shefa, the goodness that flows from Hashem, flows through Jerusalem and then out to the other lands and countries. What Wikipedia has to say. Yom Yerushalayim, Jerusalem Day, is the most recent addition to the Hebrew calendar. It is celebrated on the 28th day of Iyar, 6 weeks after the Passover Seder, 1 week before the evening of Shavuot. Although Jerusalem has been considered the capital city of the children of Israel, of the people, the Jewish people, since the time of King David, who conquered it and built it as the seat of his monarchy in approximately 1000 before the Common Era. There has never been a special day in honor of the city until the Israeli army took over the ancient eastern part of the city on the third day of the Six-Day War in June 1967. And to reconcile the first day after the war started and the third day when it was completed just has to do with the process of war and has to do with the battles that took place. It started on the first day after the war started and was completed on the third day, the middle of the Six-Day War, which always makes sense that it relates to the central column. A young holiday. Due to the young age of this holiday, there is still not much which makes it unique in terms of customs and traditions. It is gradually becoming a pilgrimage day when thousands of Israelis travel, some hike, to Jerusalem to demonstrate solidarity with the city. The show of solidarity is of special importance to the State of Israel, since the international community has never approved the reunification of the city under Israeli sovereignty, and many countries have not recognized Jerusalem as the capital of the modern state. The United Nations partition that took place on November 29, 1947, in the vote of the General Assembly, assigned the status of an international city to Jerusalem. The Israeli education system devotes the week preceding this day to enhancing the knowledge of the history and geography of the city, with a special emphasis on the unique role that it played in Jewish messianic aspirations since biblical times. Reciting Hallel. The status of Yom Yerushalayim in Jewish religious life seems more ambiguous than in the religious status of Yom Ha'atzmaut, the Israel Independence Day. Following the model of Yom Ha'atzmaut, the chief rabbinate of Israel has decided that this day should also be marked with the recital of Hallel, the Psalms of Praise, and with the lengthier version of the Pesukei Dezimra, the Psalms in the earlier part of the morning service in the Orthodox tradition. It is quite clear that ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel and abroad have not accepted Yom Yerushalayim, but it is not clear how many Orthodox Jews chant the Hallel Psalms on this day. Israel's progressive prayer book, the Reform Prayer Book, notes that Hallel should be recited on Yom Yerushalayim, but not so the Masorti, the conservative prayer book, which does suggest a list of supplemental readings for this day. The American conservative Siddur, Sim Shalom, mentions that Hallel is recited in some congregations on Yom Yerushalayim. The ambiguity of this religious status of this holiday is reflected in celebrations, or lack thereof, outside of Israel. When the city of Jerusalem has significant meaning for all of the children of Israel, Yom Yerushalayim has yet to obtain the popularity of Yom Ha'atzmaut. and is not observed extensively outside of Israel. In addition, unlike Yom HaAtzma'ut, which is a day to celebrate the existence and successes of the modern Jewish state, Yom Yerushalayim can make some politically liberal Jews outside of Israel uncomfortable due to the continuing conflicts over the future of the city. Even some Jews who believe that the city should remain undivided and under Israel's control choose not to emphasize Yom Yerushalayim as a day of joy because of the deeply emotional, violent, and controversial state of affairs surrounding the Arab portions of Jerusalem. Others, however, believe that despite the current political conflicts, an undivided Jerusalem is something to be celebrated openly and unhesitatingly, a sign like Yom HaAtzma'ut of Jewish political independence. A common citation in Yom Yerushalayim celebrations in Israel is the quote, "Ir shechubra la yadev," a city that is compact together, or a city uniting all. This translation is probably influenced by a rabbinic midrash on this verse, which interpreted the phrase to reflect events in rabbinic times. In using the citation today, a modern midrash has been built on the rabbinic interpretation. The course which Yom Yerushalayim will take in future decades will be influenced undoubtedly by the political developments, which will determine the status of the city in future times. A speech based on Torah, which is known as a Sicha. You shall be called my delight. And this Sicha was written and delivered by Harav Yehuda Amital. And it was translated by Karen Fish. The 28th of Iyar has come to be known as Yom Yerushalayim. But in the Tanakh, this appellation appears in the context of the destruction. Remember, O Lord, unto the children of Edom, the day of Yerushalayim. The phrase is Yom Yerushalayim, when they said, raise it to its very foundations. Perhaps, therefore, it would have been more appropriate to call the day Yom Chetziva. For Zion's sake, I shall not be still, and for Jerusalem's sake, I shall not be silent, until her righteousness emerges like radiance, and its salvation like a burning torch. You shall no more be called forsaken, and your land shall no more longer be called desolate. Rather, you shall be called my delight, Chetziba, and your land, its spouse, for God delights in you, and your land shall be espoused. Although a great distance still remains to be covered, the temple has not yet been rebuilt, and we are far from Jerusalem, described in the prophecy. The return of children of Israel sovereignty to Jerusalem after 2,000 years of foreign rule still represents something of the promise of Chetziva, my delight. The manner in which Jerusalem was liberated otherwise points in the direction of Chetziva. Rav Unterman, the chief rabbi at the time, hesitated to institute the blessing preceding Hallel on Yom HaAtzma'ut. But for Yom Yerushalayim, which celebrates the miracles of the Six-Day War, he instructed that Hallel should be recited with its blessing. On Yom HaAtzmaut, Am Yisrael emerged from slavery to freedom. On Yom Yerushalayim, we emerged from death to life. Even the nations of the world drew parallels between biblical prophecies and the events of the Six-Day War, when the very stars of the heavens fought on our behalf. We went to war because of Sharm el-Sheikh, but our victory in the Sinai was dwarfed by the liberation of Jerusalem. We recite Hallel over the wondrous salvation and victory of the war, but the significance of the war is Jerusalem. And it shall be, when all these things befall you, the blessings and the curse which I have placed before you, then you shall take it to heart. We must observe the ways of God and internalize their message. Seemingly natural historical events and certain supernatural historical events represent God's communication with Am Yisrael. This language has its own codes. Just as in the written law, there is Pardes, Beshat, Remes, Drash, and Sod. The simple, the hints, the allegories, and the secrets. These different levels on which text may be interpreted and understood. There are similarly many different types of miracles involved in the events that God brings about. Some are overt and manifest, like the splitting of the Yam Suf. No one can miss them. Of these we may say, how great are your deeds, Hashem. Others are hidden, like the miracles of Megillat Esther. It requires a certain level of emunah, of faith, of bitachon, trust, and of course, vadai, certainty, and a level of insight to perceive the divine machinations that were at work from the very start. Throughout all the developments and up until the salvation at the end, of these miracles, we may say, your thoughts are exceedingly deep. All of these, however, may be regarded as the written law. All of these miracles came from Hashem. At the same time, there is an oral law, the sphere of joint activity between Hashem and Am Yisrael, the people of Israel. From the time of the destruction of the temple until the establishment of the modern state of Israel, Jewish history under divine providence was conducted as the written law. Since the state of Israel was established, the miracles and wonders that we have witnessed in Eretz Yisrael are manifestations of the oral law. Divine providence provides the possibility and the timing, while Am Yisrael fights and actualizes. The establishment of the state marked the end of the approach of King Chizkiyahu. I sleep upon my bed while you carry out. Henceforth, so long as we do not yet merit having the divine presence in our midst and the rebuilding of the temple, the miracles in Israel are oral law. Am Yisrael is entrusted with a huge responsibility. It was discovered after the Six-Day War that the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces leadership, had predicted the duration of the war and the victory with great accuracy. They had also estimated the number of IDF casualties. Am Yisrael, the people of Israel, merited that the general staff plan was God's plan. God took care of the timing and prevented failure. This is true of the victory against Egypt and against Syria, but the liberation of Jerusalem was a manifestation of the written law. There had been no operative plans for conquest of the city, and calming messages had been conveyed to Jordan. Nevertheless, Jerusalem became part of the war. And as I've already said, if Jordan hadn't decided to join Egypt and Syria in fighting Israel at that time, Jerusalem would not have been conquered, retaken, assimilated. Jerusalem happened because of Jordan's decision, and Jordan's decision was following God's plan. You shall be called my delight, Chetzivah, and your land espoused, for God delights in you, and your land shall be espoused. What is the meaning of espoused? It means married. The Gemara teaches that Jerusalem was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. What does this mean? Is it possible that had it not been for the unfortunate mistake of the servant who invited Bar Kamsa instead of Kamsa to the feast, the destruction would have been averted? Obviously not. Why not? This is Hanok's commentary, unwritten. Why not? Because if it happens in the physical world, then that is the plan of Hashem. Now, many people have great difficulty with that spiritual law. But as you come to study Kabbalah, you'll come to see the truth of that statement. The divine decree had already been sealed, but divine providence produced a demonstration that symbolized and reflected the reason for what happened later. What was exposed at that time was an instance of senseless hatred. This is referring to Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, which caused the destruction of Jerusalem. Because these two very wealthy men, one named Kamsa and one named Bar Kamsa, one was embarrassed and grew to hate if he didn't hate the other in advance. But this senseless hatred is the cause of this destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Continuing to read. In the period of Israel's rebirth also, God exposed an image, the image of Israeli paratroopers, weeping at the Western Wall. Secular people, kibbutz members, this was the picture of the great longing of secular Jews cut off from their religious roots. This image carries a profound message concerning the religious consciousness of all of Am Yisrael. In the depth of its heart, in the deepest recesses of its soul, Am Yisrael are connected to God. It was out of this national unity that Jerusalem was liberated. That's the end of our class for today. Does anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts they'd like to express on these two subjects, these two holidays that are yet before us? Coming soon. Our classes this coming week. At 3 o'clock today, we will continue our classes in Lashon Hara, evil speech, or actually learning how to say positive words. It's talk and speech. At 8:30 tonight, we will count the Omer. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, at 4:30, we will have mini Zohar classes. at 7 o'clock Monday night, we will be reading an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we will be teaching the Tikkuni Zohar, the correction of the light, which, of course, there is never a problem in the light. But tikkune means correction or perfection, perhaps. And the Zohar means brightness, or it's related to light. Tikkune Zohar, the perfection of the light, which takes human activity. Wednesday at 7 o'clock will be our question and answer session. Thursday at 4:30, we will have an advanced reincarnation class. And at 7 o'clock, our Zohar class for the Parasha of Pechukotai. All 5 days, Monday to Friday at 8:30, we will count the Omer. Saturday, this coming Shabbat, 6 o'clock, we will do Havdalah. 7 o'clock, we will have our Zohar class for the Parashat Bamidbar. And at 8:30, we will count the Omer. And next Sunday, we will begin our preparation, or continue our preparation, depending on how you look at it, for the holiday of Shavuot. Again, I ask, are there any questions or comments or thoughts?
Chanoch.
Yes, Chanoch.
I have, been doing my research, and if I have my calculations right, I find it interesting to Muhammad Ali chose the 42nd day of the Omer to pass, and his memorial service was on the 49th day of the Omer as well, and I just found that interesting. If you look at his life and then put all the dates together, where it falls, it's very interesting.
That is very interesting, and thank you for bringing that to our attention. But I think you broke up. What I'm going to say is, essentially, Muhammad Ali is who you are referring to?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's the 42nd day is what?
He passed on the 42nd day of the Omer, which was on a Friday. And the following Friday, which was on the 49th day of the Omer, was his memorial service.
Thank you. That is very interesting.
And also, the day before his passing in the Gregorian calendar is celebrated Armed Forces Day, and then the day after his passing on the 27th is Victoria Day. So there, people found everything that all interesting.
Well, those are not interesting as part of the Hebrew calendar, which you're talking
correct,
about.
Correct,
calculated dates. So
I'm just looking right.
The two dates that you mentioned, the 42nd and the 49th, is significant as that it relates to a period of sitting Shiva for the week. And it's an indication of the height of his soul. The other dates you're mentioning are really, in my opinion, tending to corrupt the real value of your research. So I thank you for bringing this information forward to all of us.
What was the name?
Muhammad Ali.
Oh, Muhammad Ali. It's very interesting.
So I wish you all a happy Mother's Day. Happy holiday for Lag BaOmer. I hope you've connected to the passion, to the fire of Rabbi Shimon. And we bring this energy into the balance of the 49 days up to Shavuot. Shalom to all.
Have a good morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you.